From NPR News, this is Weekend Edition. I'm Leanne Hansen. Thousands of civilians fled from Pakistan's Swat Valley today after authorities briefly lifted a curfew. Pakistan's army says that its warplanes have killed at least 180 Taliban militants within a 24-hour period. The UN warns that the fighting is producing one of the world's huge displacements of people. NPR's Julie MacArthur reports on their plight and their conflicting attitudes about who is responsible for the war that has driven them from their homes.
Across the district of Mardan, row upon neat row of tents is going up as the messy business of housing refugees from the conflict next door in Swat Valley picks up pace. The once tranquil valley has become the epicenter of the power struggle between the militants and Pakistan forces. International aid agencies say 200,000 people have already escaped the widening conflict there. Another 300,000 are either on the move or trapped by the fighting. Hundreds seeking help have overwhelmed the sprawling, centuries-old tuberculosis hospital turned receiving center in Mardan City. The new arrivals jostle each other in long lines. A full-throated official, or Nazim, steps in as the heat bears down and patience wears thin. It is our duty as Muslims to support you, he says to applause. Within 2 or 3 weeks, he says, you'll be back home. And God willing, those terrorists in the name of Taliban will be destroyed. Maximum 3 weeks, he adds. But Hameen Ula, whose sharp elbows nudge him to the front of the registration, is settling in for the long haul. The shop owner from Mingora, the central city in Swat, says a huge explosion last week in the square across from his shop sent the entire area scurrying for shelter. When the curfew was lifted, allowing residents to flee, Hameen said his family did not hesitate. Our thinking was to save our lives and that God would bring back our worldly goods. A great injustice has happened to us, leaving behind our business, he says. Yet the 23-year-old expresses ambivalence about the Taliban. He says, yes, women did not venture out, the men did not shave their beards, and the young did not play music, as part of the Islamic militants' rigidly enforced morality in the conservative valley. But he says the Taliban also replaced a corrupt police force that Hameen says would harass shop owners and demand money. The Taliban are good and not so good for us, he says. If they bring Sharia law, it will create peace. But when the Taliban and the army fight, it creates great trouble. They are used to it, he says. But it is we who suffer. Said Wali Khan clusters in the courtyard with friends who have few kind words for either the Taliban or the Pakistani army. Khan arrived from Bunair, where Taliban forces spilled over from Swat last month. He says fighting has only ruined the lives of people who had no hand in the conflict, but who are dying in large numbers. We have observed that the army and the Taliban would face each other but not attack. They are one. They seem to be in league with one another, he says. That the army may be in collusion with the militants is a widely shared perception in Swat Valley. It is rooted in the Pakistan military's use of extremists as proxies to fight in Indian Kashmir and the Soviet-occupied Afghanistan. Whatever the causes of the conflict, the internally displaced are paying a heavy price. In Islamabad, the new refugees, including children, lead a protest demanding shelter, food, and medicine. Taj Mohammed also demands an end to the militancy. The young farmer arrived in the city this past week after a harrowing escape with his family over mountain passes that he says were being raked by helicopter gunships. His traumatized sister-in-law pulls her black veil tightly around her like a security blanket. I am not normal now, she says. I'm out of my mind. Taj Mohammed blames the Taliban for the spiraling terror that he says forced young men at gunpoint to join the jihad and blew up girls' schools. For us, the army is better than the Taliban, he says. How can girls not go to school and learn anything, even their religion? And how can Muslims kill Muslims in a jihad? How is that justified, he asks. Taj Mohammed says Swat Valley was a paradise, but he says the Taliban destroyed the flowers with all their havoc. It will take 20 to 30 years, he says, for it to come back. Julie McCarthy, NPR News, Islamabad.
Junaid Khan contributed to this report from Mardan.